local group, I will call them, has a sign out this week. It says on it a verse from the book of Proverbs. And that verse is, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, they are Christian scientists, which means they think that if you think you're going to be better, you're going to be better. They think you can think your way to health and wellness. And the fact of the matter is that that leads to all kinds of tragedy and trauma in their world, many times forbidding certain things that can be done. God gave us the wherewithal to do, and they'll say, don't do it, because we got faith. But my point is this. They say that, and it hit me strong, because I realized from another situation that hit me this week, that you and I are subject to as we think in our hearts. This week I heard a talk show host, Glenn Beck, talking about his experience, bad experience, in a hospital this week. He was talking about how he had been missed and overlooked, and it was terrible and awful, and where his bladder had become full to the point of three times the capacity of a normal bladder. He was in pain, he was in misery, he had some problems. Subsequently, he became so overwhelmed by the pain, they put him under certain medications, and he began to hallucinate. And in his hallucinations, he began to see things that were bringing him to tears as he spoke of them on the radio. He said he saw babies in his hallucinations, with their faces being eaten by dogs. He said he felt like he was at times when it had a crowd behind him, pushing and running and were after him, and that they were demons in the midst of all of that, and they were whispering to his soul, if you think this is bad, you have not seen bad yet. He was despairing of life, and he was frightened to his core. Many of us know that there are many near-death experiences. People go on the TV and say, hey, I almost died. I believe it's very, very possible that he almost died. And God was giving that man and all of his listeners. You see, God doesn't do anything haphazardly. This guy is a radio talk show host. He wasn't speaking from some second-hand information. He said, this is what I experienced. He put it aside. He said, I despaired of life. Every ounce of dignity was gone. I was sitting in my own filth, and I told my wife, don't even come, because no man wants his wife to see him in such a condition. She came at any rate, came to him, found him in his filth, and took him to a bathroom where they still even had bandages on the floor that were used bandages. They cleaned it up a little, but there were still bandages. Subsequently, he needed to be cleaned up. And his wife crawled into that shower with him and washed him fully clothed. She fully clothed, washing him, because there was nothing else for him. And I was hit profoundly, because this guy was telling me a story of death and potentially of hell. And then I see a sign that says, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. And I realize that many of us in this room are not ready to die. That's not to say you're not saved. Some in this room this morning are saved people who are still not ready to die, because you don't know God well enough to die. Not to die slowly. There'll be all kinds of doubts. There'll be all kinds of trauma in your soul. Some of us are not ready to die because we're not saved yet. But some of us are not ready to die as believers, because in our hearts we don't have enough fortification to face it and say, what do I know? What do I really believe in my core? How is it that he calls me brother? And so this morning I'm brought to this passage, and I want you to look at it with me in chapter 2. For the Bible says in verse 9, but we see Jesus. If you don't underline any other passage this morning in this, or any verse in any other part, you might want to underline those. But we see Jesus, because therein lies the secret to the believer's hope. The Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And this passage says, but we see Jesus. When you come down to die, I hope you're looking for Jesus in your heart, in your ruminations, in your spirit, because there is no other way through that trauma, of all traumas, but Jesus. He said, I am the way. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself. I like that. I know that verse, you know, and because I know that verse, I'm thinking, when my time comes, I'm going to be looking for him to come again and receive me. But we see Jesus in verse 9, it says, but we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Four things here I want you to look at in just that verse alone. It says he was made a little lower than the angels. Literally, it's a middle voice. He really made himself. Did you know that? The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. Jesus made himself a little lower than the angels. Jesus made himself a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. We see Jesus made a little lower than the angels. We see Jesus crowned, Stephanus crowned in the book of Revelation, diadem. King, royalty, here, victor, crowned with glory and honor. A Stephanus, which was a wreath in the Roman days. Jesus, crowned with glory and honor. That's who we see. Why do I say it? Because you need to understand why he's going to carry you through. You need to know this. He won! How cool is that? He's crowned and he won. And if you know that in your heart, you'll be alright. You'll be alright. He won. He was real. He was made a little lower than the angels. He was crowned with glory and honor for the tasting of death. Look at it, verse 9. I may have misread it, but verse 9 tells us that he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. And I love that because what it's saying is he understands our sin. Glenn Beck, radio talk show host, does not understand that. Had he understood it, he'd have talked about it. He'd have said something. He'd have said, I just asked God, where's Jesus? But he has another Jesus. He has a Jesus that is not the Jesus of the Bible. For his Mormon faith, his Mormonism, does not allow him to see Jesus for who he is, the true victor, the creator God, the only true God, the incarnate God. There are many Jesuses out there, beloved, many. There are Catholic Jesuses. There are Roman Jesuses. There are Mormon Jesuses. There are Jehovah's Witness Jesuses. There are all kinds of Jesuses. There are all kinds of them. There's a Jesus who will get you okay, he'll get you up close, but not quite. There's a Jesus who will get you in and he'll let you go. Jesus said, no man can snatch you out of my hand. But they've got Jesuses out there to let you go. Talked about that 2 weeks ago, go on the internet. Listen, he said, it's impossible to be let go. Woo-hoo! I'm so glad I know that. And I'm not listening to some man. I'm looking at the Word of God. And I'm saying it's here. It's written. And when I read Scripture and I compare the Old Testament with the New Testament, all the ins and outs and the prophets, and I say, yes, I know that's true. I don't take a man's word for it. There's Jehovah's Witness Jesuses. They think he's just an angel. Here it says he was made a little lower than the angels because he was made in the likeness of man. But that he was also the creator. Read the first couple of verse chapters. Everything was made by him and for him. And nothing was made without him. It's all in this chapter. He's actually awesome. He's the creator God. He was crowned, taste of death. And I love this because in verse 9 it says this. It says that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That's good stuff. How did he taste death? By the grace of God. Now, you don't know the grace of God unless you know the grace of God. The grace of God is something you can't paint a picture of. You can only walk through experience and say, wow, this is pretty cool. Well, yesterday when my grandbaby was being brought into this world and everything was put in place and everything was underway everything began to happen, and all of the machinery was coming together. Click, 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 click. Do you think God knew my baby was going to be born, my grandbaby was going to be born yesterday at a certain hour? Everything was in place. My son-in-law got his job back in Columbus. He starts Monday at full wage when he was an apprentice, but it's prevailing wage job, so for a season, he's going to have enough money to take care of everybody while they're in Michigan. Did God know?